Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the events of this day 1 year ago, waking up to some devastating news in our community, a tornado ripping through Donelson and East Nashville and Germantown and Mount Juliet, Lebanon, all the way out east to Cookeville as well. It's a day that those of us who lived through it will probably never forget. And speaking of that, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in DCA football coach Paul Wade, who had some experiences on this day a year ago as well. Paul, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
So, Paul, let's start with just the question that we talked about in the last segment. What was it like for you when you woke up and surveyed what was happening in our community this time a year ago?
Well, I just finished a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and let me tell you, that's not what I was doing a year ago this morning. I was actually on my second trip back to the academy because I got a call right as the tornado hit and was at campus. It took me about 45 minutes to get there from my house, which is only about 5 miles away because of all the power lines. But I went back this morning a year ago to survey it, and let me preface by saying that I know there's a lot of people that had a lot more devastation than what we did, but as a football coach in charge of a program at a great Christian school, to venture back on campus and just to look at the athletic fields, and in my case, the football facility, it was stuff that you see in movies. It was really devastating.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, we saw the pictures that day. I think that was probably, Paul, I mean, a lot of images that you remember from that day. But looking at your school, and, you know, my son has played a lot of basketball there, actually. I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, we were just at that gym a few days ago. It is, oh, look at that place. It's absolutely gone. What was, take us through first, you know, your first approach coming to the play. Like, what stands out? What won't you forget?
Well, the first thing I won't forget is how long it took me to get down Central Pike. I live in the Hermitage, right at the Hermitage's Mount Juliet county line, and coming down Central Pike to hit Lebanon Road, like I said, it was like stuff you see in movies, dodging power lines, dodging trees. My wife was with me. She was worried, you know, was stuff still alive? We were at an area to where I'm telling you there was no police, no emergency people yet, no fire. We're talking just moments after it hit. Getting down Lebanon Road across the Stones River, Stones River Bridge, it was like a war scene. As I ventured up past the target area, you could start seeing, believe it or not, with some of the skylight, you could start seeing some of the devastation because obviously there's no power. I couldn't even make it down the street, Daniel Crest, that the school is on, that perpendicular goes off of Lebanon Road. I had to get out of my vehicle. It was still raining, and venture through wires. People in their homes were coming out. You were passing homes that were literally to the ground, and then you were passing homes that had not one shingle off the roof. That stuff that you read about, that you hear about, you know, I actually got to see that kind of stuff. As I venture down into the campus, first with the softball field, totally gone. We're talking dugouts, bleachers, scoreboards, light poles, grass, fencing, the soccer field, bleachers, stadium seating, light poles. Then I get to the baseball field, the entire dugout, a brand new backstop and fencing, a netting system that we put up was like totally gone. Bleachers and scoreboards were wrapped around telephone poles, were wrapped around concrete pillars that we had as far as our campus fencing. When I made it to the concession stand, hospitality center, the roof had totally been sucked off. Occupants inside it were gone. The walls were actually fortified with concrete because part of it was built in a floodplain, so we had to do some structural stuff. So those walls actually were intact, but everything that was in that building was gone. The football field, the stadium, bleachers were ripped off. The press box was lifted off its foundation and placed at the 50-yard line about 15 yards inside the plant of service. One goalpost was totally gone. One was bent. The scoreboard was wrapped around a big 12-inch angle iron like somebody had just twisted it with a bread top with your hand. The scoreboard just spun around like a top. The Spirit Store roof was gone. Stuff in it was out. Turf was torn. There was stuff stuck down in the turf. There was glass and debris everywhere. And then all four poles were down. And that was just for the athletic purposes. That's not even talking about the building itself and the devastation that occurred there. Our seniors were actually on a senior trip. There were multiple, there were probably a dozen plus cars still in the parking lot. Most of them had damage, windows totally sucked out, telephone poles, light poles laying on top of cars. All of the occupants of the lower school, which housed our first through fifth grade, you could actually hear guys, which was very eerie, you could hear toys, you know, electronic toys that were still going off in the rubble. From the storm, it was just it was a sight to behold. Pictures do not do it justice. If you were not able to walk on the campus at that time, there's no way to describe as best I tried right there to tell you what it looked like.
DCA football coach Paul Wade on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, reliving this day a year ago, where just an incredible amount of devastation in our community. And Paul, Joe, and I, we were doing the show this time a year ago, and just watching, you know, the sun come up and the news coverage of it, you know, DCA was one of the first places that we saw and one of the first places that they went to on the news. And like, once you kind of look at the damage and just the shock value that comes with it, my immediate thought was, all right, well, this is really bad, but thank God this didn't happen while they were in school, because it could have been so much worse. Like, it was so much damage, but I'm so thankful that school was not in session when this took place.
Had it been, and ironically, at 2:30 in the morning, as we sit out there with umbrellas, you know, tears in our eyes, praying, you know, asking God for direction and strength, we often return to the idea that had we been in school, there would be hundreds of precious lives that would no longer be with us, because there was nowhere to go. We could have put them in the hallways, you know, and the stuff you did when you were in elementary school and tuck your head and all that stuff, but the devastation, it would have been a tragic loss of life.
Paul, what did you see in terms of the response from the community in the days after the tornado?
Well, when you believe in a higher power and you live by that, and you're a community of believers, the stuff was overwhelming. When I'm telling you, we had to turn people away. That's 100% true. It was unbelievable, the outpouring of hands-on, boots on the ground. People were there that morning that just showed up. I can humbly say that I've never partaken in anything like that. So to see people just show up with chainsaws and trucks and water and checks, it was unbelievable. Our community did a great job of wrapping our arms around those people from as far as Michigan and as far south as Louisiana that showed up, the community churches, other sister schools. There are some good friends of mine in the coaching business who showed up with their teams to help out. You know, other schools that I had worked out, people were sending in checks to help support. And thankfully, all of our equipment, helmets, shoulder pads, uniforms, we were fortunate enough that they were in a corner of a building that none of that was touched. But we had football programs as far as Oklahoma asking to send sleds and dummies and helmets if we needed. We had, you know, all the other athletic teams had programs give balls, give bases, just to try to get through. And obviously, COVID changed all that. But our baseball and softball teams were actually in Florida, because we were on about to go on spring break. When they went to Florida that next week, the teams they played down there took up donations, so they brought back checks. It was just an unbelievable outpouring of God's love in a community of believers that really needed it at that moment.
DCA football coach Paul Wade has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, reliving this day a year ago, a tragic day here in our community. But as Paul says, there was the response in the aftermath was pretty incredible to watch. Paul, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning and kind of revisit and relive this day a year ago.
Blessed that when I return to campus this morning, I won't see what I saw last year. But I thank you guys for your time and appreciate you reflecting on this day, man.
Absolutely. Paul Wade, DCA football coach, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion and get your reaction to this day 1 year ago here in our community. Let us know your stories at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.